This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
Agriculture is Saskatchewan, and 620 CKRM is your source for everything ag. Welcome to our newly expanded Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Here's your host, Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. It's brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by the Arcola Co-op, offering fuel, food, and drinks on Highway 13. Arcola Co-op, you're at home here. Today, the Saskatchewan stock growers release a drought survival plan sent to government this week. We talk with President Kelsey Elford at Caronport. Real Agriculture discusses recent improved market conditions for pulse crop sales to India. India has reduced tariffs. We hear about a calculator designed to help producers decide on the value of feed from poor crops. Protein Industries Canada reaches a deal on developing new pea and hemp varieties for food ingredients and meat alternatives. And the problem of wild boars should receive more attention, according to the new manager of Manitoba Pork. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, helping growers contract any type of grain. Call 1-800-324-7778. And Mazank Fuels, your local branded Petro-Canada wholesaler for over 40 years. Fill up the tank, call Mazank. 306-721-6667. The Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association has sent a drought survival plan for producers to the federal and provincial governments. Stock Growers President Kelsey Elford of Caronport says producers need immediate government action to ensure cattle producers have sufficient feed and water during the drought.
I really want to stress that when the government came out a few weeks ago, those were great first steps, and as we've navigated this process and talked to producers around the province, some more solutions that have come forward. They've enhanced the Fur Whip program, and we'd like to see that to include power going forward. Like a one-year tax deferral is not going to be sufficient for guys to navigate and get back in if they're forced to sell livestock. So we'd like to see a minimum of 5 years on that. If ever there was a reason to trigger ag recovery, this is it. So we would like to see that triggered. An interest-free loan and access to AgriInvest without any penalty. Those are some asks that can work towards solutions for producers that are in dire need of feed. That's the biggest issue, is even if they have the tools available, it's going to be really hard to find the feed. And so we'd like to see access to capital and access to clean water, because water's turning bad all over the province in this heat.
So you want including power installation for wells, water pumping, and additional technical support. And you'd even, I understand, like to see the government pay their portion directly to contractors that are doing this farm work.
Absolutely, because when it comes to cash flow, to pay those dollars up front, puts producers in a tough financial position. So if we could see the government paid directly their portion to the contractors, that takes a lot of the stress of the financial burden off the producer, and that makes a huge difference, Jim.
I see in your drought survival proposal, you're also asking for affordable transportation and the government to work with grain companies to remove any barriers preventing the salvage of feed from forward contracted crops.
Without question. Transportation is a huge cost, and if producers are having to go a long distance, I talked to one producer this morning, actually, that is bringing straw 210 miles, and it's going to be valued at $100 a bale by the time it lands in his yard, and straw doesn't have much feed value. And so if we're having to go 200-plus miles or more to get the feed, the transportation cost is going to be unbearable and not sustainable. So we'd like to see that examined by this government as well. I'd like to comment on some of the programs that have been available. The rainfall insurance program, the forage program, livestock price insurance program. And you know, I've talked to some of the producers that have taken advantage of the rainfall insurance, and that's really taken the burden off because they took advantage, and that's given them some options. So I'd like to commend the government on some of those programs that were already in place, and thank them for the fact that, you know, they are listening to the agriculture sector very closely in everything that they're doing when it comes to this drought mitigation.
Another item I've pulled out of your drought survival plan is calling for long-term low-interest loans to cover expenses incurred due to the drought.
You know, that nobody wants another loan, but it is a good solution. When we look to our neighbors south of the border, North Dakota is putting together a proposal that, one, to mitigate the drought, and two, to buy back the herds that are ultimately going to be impacted, and they're going to have to decrease their numbers. And so with those options available, you know, it gives producers the opportunity to navigate the storm and stay in business, but not only just to have the opportunity to buy back in when this weather turns around.
In our next segment, Stock Growers President Kelsey Alford outlines more of the drought survival plan submitted to government this week.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch Eaves Troughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesTroughs.ca and Farmtronics in Regina, your farm electronics specialists. From moisture testers to security cameras, keeping your farm running productively and efficiently since 1977. 380 Henderson Drive. Saskatchewan Stock Growers President Kelsey Alford has outlined a multi-point drought survival plan to the federal and provincial governments. He says a key priority is immediate government action to ensure producers have sufficient water and feed for their livestock.
This is timely. There's no question. This is not a next month, next year. This is a right now. Immediate action on this needs to be put in place.
How bad is the drought, and what areas are worst hit?
I've had opportunity to travel this province from Yorkton down to Estevan and across the Council, and from that Wood Mountain country all the way over to Council, Valmarie. There's just nothing there, Jim. Like, it, crops didn't grow, pastures are under pressure, water's drying up, you know, and there's lots of area under stress, but I would say that the south end of this province, starting, you know, you just get past Rock Glen, and that's the worst yet.
What's your expectations in terms of cattle herd sell-off?
Man, I hate to throw out that number at all. The numbers that we've been hearing are 20 to 30%, but every operation is different, and every producer is going to make decisions based on their operation. I know that we're already seeing livestock come to town that we wouldn't normally see. Guys are making decisions on calves that they normally background. They're gonna be coming to town because they don't have any feed. We will see a definite reduction in the cow herd. It's truly inevitable simply because of the feed supply. I hope the number's not too big, but I anticipate 20 to 30%.
You're calling on grain farmers to make below average crops and straw available for feed. Some farmers have always said straw is important, but I understand that's kind of been debunked.
Yeah, we are calling on them to, if their crops aren't going to make and they get their adjuster out there, they write the crop off. We'd like to see farmers work with livestock producers to give them the opportunity to salvage that crop that isn't going to be a benefit to them. And I know in some cases, you know, there's been some farmers that have already done that, and we certainly appreciate their effort. We'd like to see it more and more going forward and timely. You know, these crops are burning up fast, and the more green that we get them, the better they'll be for the livestock sector. The good thing about straw, Jim, is if you're putting it in a ration, like cows, you know, beef cows, you need to give them what they need. They don't need to eat good hay all the time. You need to fill the rumen. And so, you know, if you can feed them 10 pounds of hay, put in a mineral pack and add some molasses and promolas or another supplement, you know, you can feed the rest in straw and get by. It's not ideal, but it's a solution. You know, like, it's that's the deal with straw. Sometimes it'll get you through when nothing else will.
Kelsey Alford of Karenport is the president of the Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Email advertising at realagriculture.com to learn more about this unique keynote opportunity.
And joining me now is Mac Ross. He is the Director of Market Access and Trade Policy for Pulse Canada. Mac, kind of a big week for Canadian pulses heading into India, lentils specifically. What's the latest there?
Yeah, for sure. So yesterday, or I guess it was Sunday overnight, we found out that India had lowered the applicable duty rate for lentils imported into India. So now we're going to be facing a total applied rate of 11%, down from 33% for lentils imported from all origins except the USA or including Canada, whereas USA lentils will be subject to a 22%, down from 55%.
Can you speak to the reason for that? Just the difference with the USA. I just find that interesting.
So the difference with the USA, yeah. So the U.S. has been subject to higher duty rates since 2018 and since steel and aluminum tariffs were imposed. And also more recently in 2020, India had removed, or sorry, U.S. had removed India from their list of countries that receives special trade treatment due to them being a developed country. So that could reportedly be a reason as well. But this disparity in rates has been that way since steel and aluminum tariffs back in 2018.
Okay, great. Okay. So, I mean, the good news for Canada, of course, we've moved down from that 33%, which has been in place for a while now. So how long has that been? And it's my understanding, but correct me if I'm wrong, that 11% is more sort of what Canada has been shipping into India for quite some time before this run up to 33%, correct?
Yeah, so really, you know, these tariffs that we face on lentils, but all other pulses as well, like chickpeas and peas, have been quite restrictive really since about 2017. And last year in 2020 was the first time we saw India reduce the lentil tariff down to 11%. So from roughly the good part of June to December of 2020, it was reduced down to 11%. And why they did that seemingly was to combat rising food prices in India. As we know, they're often trying to strike this balance between high prices for their farmers and affordable prices for consumers. So lowering the tariff was a way to combat food price inflation. And so in December of 2020, it went back up to 33%, and it had stayed that way until now, and now it's gone back down. So you know, while it's a positive signal, you know, will sort of allow us to look at sort of capitalizing on some of this new demand, we do still need predictability, and that's always going to be the primary focus in terms of our relationship with India. This latest temporary reduction, while positive, is just another example of the volatility in import policies that creates uncertainty for all growers, traders, and consumers of pulses.
Right. And so that is part of this, is that, of course, there's no guarantee as to how long this reduced tariff will be in place. Because as you mentioned, India tends to use these tariffs to manage their domestic conditions, right? So
Okay. Yeah, that's right. And you know, historically, we've seen that when these tariffs have been lowered, that there's a timeline imposed, whereas this time there's been no end date. So really, like you say, it's just sort of at the whim of the government of India and when they decide to either raise it or revise it again. So not a lot of certainty on that front. And you know, like I said, while positive and definitely will be you know, a positive thing for some of the bulk shippers. As you know, Lindsay, there's a number of issues we're experiencing right now on the container side. So it will be a little tough for us to immediately capitalize on some of this new demand when we don't have the container capacity here in Canada to meet these needs right away.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
It's your agri weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Partly cloudy today and hazy, wind north 20, the high 28, the low 14. Thursday, increasing cloudiness and hazy, wind south 20, the high 26, the low 15 tomorrow. Friday, sunny, the high 30, the low 13. Saturday, sunny, the high 28, the low 13. Sunday, sunny, the high 30, the low 14. Monday, sunny, the high 32, the low 15. Tuesday, sunny and a high of 31. Normal high is 26. The normal low is 11. The sun rose at 5:21 this morning. It sets at 8:49 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot is Last Mountain at 27 degrees. The cold spot up north, Collins Bay, at 14. Estevan is 26. Saskatoon also 26 degrees. Swift Current 23. Weyburn and Yorkton both 26. Regina partly cloudy and 25. That's 77 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the north-northwest at 22. Humidity is 46%. Barometer rising 102.1. Cloudy in Moose Jaw, 25. Winds are from the north at 17. Once again, Regina partly cloudy and 25. That's 77 Fahrenheit. Back in a moment.
Get out to an early start on weed control in next year's canola and lentil crop using Group 3 Edge Microactive from Gowan Canada this fall. Edge Microactive, maximize yields today and manage resistance for tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Many beef producers are looking for additional feed and hoping to work with neighbors to graze, bale, or silage crops. The question is how to value the feed in a way that provides a benefit to both the grain farmer and the cattle producer. The Beef Cattle Research Council has developed a calculator as a starting point. You can find the calculator in the council's latest blog at www.beefresearch.ca. Stacy Domaluski is the council's research and innovation coordinator.
This is essentially just to be that starting point for what is the value of that crop as it is. And so whether it's baled or whether it's flossed or just bought standing. So it's just kind of the bare bones value of the crop, and then to add any of your other costs associated with using that as well.
The calculator includes many potential feed sources.
We did try to take into account different crops that producers would be potentially baling or grazing this year, as well as value of, you know, what farmers could get for that as a grain crop, as well as different methods of harvesting that crop. So whether it was going to be bought standing, whether they were going to swath it for swath grazing, bale it, that sort of thing. So try to account for a bunch of different scenarios. The only one that isn't accounted for in the calculator is silaging, not because, you know, producers aren't doing that. We recognize that that's happening across Canada right now. It's just a little more tricky to account for all of the costs that go into silaging. So if that's the case, we kind of recommend using the value of the standing crop and then incorporating your own costs for silaging, because that one is so variable across Canada and from farm to farm.
The Beef Cattle Research Council is also hosting a free webinar Thursday night at 7 p.m. A panel of nutrition and animal health experts will be available to answer any drought-related feed question. You can register for that webinar. It's tomorrow night at the Beef Research Council website. Regina-based Protein Industries Canada has outlined a $5 million agreement to develop improved pea and hemp varieties for Saskatchewan farmers. CEO Bill Gruel says Protein Industries Canada has reached a deal with four companies to develop new pea and hemp varieties for use in food processing.
We announced a $5.1 million project today aimed at better utilization of hemp and peas. It's kind of a really interesting project. It starts out with a technology company originally based out of Israel, but they've relocated their research center to Saskatoon. They're using some advanced breeding technologies to increase and improve protein content in hemp and peas. And then we've got two breeding companies that are going to take those new advancements and develop better varieties for farmers. So that is companies Farmers Business Network will be doing the hemp breeding, and Pulse Genetics will be doing the pea breeding. And then on the back end of this, we've got Manitoba Harvest, which is a company well known to the landscape in Western Canada. They're going to be using the flours and the protein concentrates from those to develop high-value ingredients and products for consumer packaged goods companies.
First time I've heard of hemp in protein and the use of using this in a food product. Peas, of course, we've heard before, but hemp as well?
Yeah, hemp as well. And I think, you know, to your question about why is this important for farmers, well, here it is. We're trying to develop a brand new cropping option for producers in Western Canada. Hemp's got a lot of potential. It's got a really good protein that has applications in beverages, in food products, in meat replacements, a very versatile, very, very low flavor. So it's got I think it's going to be a great addition to crop rotations.
And of course, we have to make sure we talk about this as hemp. It's not the marijuana hemp.
It is not the marijuana hemp. It is seed hemp that you'll see often growing in producers' fields, you know, in Manitoba and eastern Saskatchewan. There's some production under irrigation down in southern Alberta. So it's getting a bit of a good footprint. And yes, this is the low THC variety that sometimes you will see hemp hearts in stores. It's that's the product.
Tell me about when you hope to see this make its way to the store shelf as a protein product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anytime that you do breeding work in a project like this, it takes time, right? Because we have to develop the varieties first. But the interesting thing is the technology that's used by Energene, which is the company doing the advanced breeding technologies, will speed up the breeding cycle. Typically, the development of new varieties can take up to 10 years. This will crunch that down to 3 to 5 years. And so again, you know, a bit of a longer term project, but anytime you're doing genetic improvement, you add time to the length of the project. So we're hoping that Manitoba Harvest will be taking some of these varieties and developing products and testing them. But really, I think consumers will be seeing the outputs of this work in 4 to 5 years on grocery store shelves, but producers will have access to varieties sooner than that.
What kind of products would we see on the store shelf?
I think you'll see everything from, we call them high moisture meat analogs, but those are the types of products that people will see in Impossible Foods and Beyond Meat burgers and sausages. I think because hemp and pea has got some good utility, we could see those in terms of beverages. And even if you think a little bit further down the road, we've got a number of companies that could use these ingredients in the creation of whole muscle cuts and things that mimic whole muscle cuts of meat like steak or seafood.
Bill Gruel is the CEO of Regina-based Protein Industries Canada.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Diggleman Industries. Look to Diggleman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. The new general manager of Manitoba Pork is worried about wild boars in the province. Cam Dahl says the European wild boar was introduced as a way to diversify agriculture in the 1990s, and some animals escaped to the wild. He says those animals are worrisome.
Take the wild rabbit in Australia. It's just such an example of how much damage an invasive species can do. And, you know, one person brought 13 rabbits over into Australia, and now there's over 200 million of them. And they eat everything, and they disrupt habitat. They cause enormous ecological damage. And we're kind of at the beginning of something like the rabbit invasion here in on the prairies with wild pigs. And we have an opportunity to stop it now, or you know, we're going to face a potentially ecological and environmental disaster because they have the potential to cause that, as well as put our domestic hog production at significant risk.
Dahl says wild or feral pigs can cause tremendous damage to agricultural lands.
I've talked to ranchers, for example, that had thought that, you know, somebody had taken a bulldozer through their pasture and it was just 20 pigs. And they caused tremendous damage. And so if your listeners see evidence, report it. Because that's one of the first steps we need to do is to spend the effort to ensure that we know where they are so that we could have a really concentrated effort to eradicate the problem. And that's the first step, is identifying where they are. So if people see evidence, either see the pigs or see the mess that they make, report it to your conservation office.
Dahl says wild pigs can also be disease reservoirs.
They can be a repository for disease. You know, in Germany right now, they're facing an African swine fever outbreak because it had started in the wild pig population, and now it's spread to the domestic animals. And so, whether it's other infectious diseases or African swine fever or foot and mouth disease, the wild herds really can be this disease bank, and we need to ensure that doesn't happen. I know some of your listeners will be familiar with tuberculosis in Riding Mountain National Park and elk, and you know it took over 20 years to bring that problem under control, and it cost ranchers their farms and their livelihoods, and you know, that's just a local demonstration of what a wild disease reservoir can do to a domestic industry.
Dahl says while all Western provinces have programming aimed at addressing the wild pig problem, there isn't a coordinated approach. He says more federal, provincial, and industry resources need to be targeted for eradication programming. He says we can start by investing the time and funds needed to track, monitor, and effectively identify the locations where groups of wild boar are living. Dahl says we need to move beyond passive effort, such as unrestricted hunting, that have been shown to disperse the pigs and make the problem even worse.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update brought to you by Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. If you are a Costco member, get huge savings on current 2019 and 2020 SUVs right now. And brought to you by Sask Pork. Saskatchewan's growing and vibrant hog industry creates economic spin-offs and career opportunities in our rural communities. Find out more, visit saskpork.com. Grain prices were mixed. Canola fell $2.60 at $867.37. Lentils rose $11 at $802.50. One red spring wheat went up $4.25 at $370.29. The rest unchanged. Durum $469.11. Feed barley $264.65. Flax $677.94, oats $268.53. On Minneapolis, September spring wheat up 22.5 cents at $9.75 a bushel.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The Livestock Quotes brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn 842-4574. Now the latest quotes.
This is the market report for the Weyburn Livestock Exchange for the week of July 27th. The dry conditions in the west have been affecting the slaughter market. We have been fortunate in the Weyburn area. We have received some moisture in the last month. Once you get west of Highway Number 2, the drought conditions worsen, forcing producers to sell, putting pressures on the packers in the west. D1 and D2 cows sold from 80 cents to 90 cents. D3 cows sold from 70 cents to 80 cents. Counter cows sold from 60 cents to 70 cents. Heiferette sold from $1 to $1.15, and good butcher bulls sold from $1.09 to $1.29. There weren't enough steers or heifers in any one weight brace to establish an accurate price quotation. This has been Stephanie Digg reporting from the Weyburn Livestock Exchange, the market that gets cattle and the prices too.
The latest pork prices, $241.66 per CKG. Coming up, the Resource Report.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by the Prairie Co-op Grow Team, fueling farms, feeding families in Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasburg. Sask Power has announced plans to partner with First Nations Power Authority on future supply options. The plan is part of Sask Power's plan to achieve net zero emissions by 2050. Sask Power has launched extensive consultations and is on track to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 50% below 2005 levels by 2030 and is now preparing for the future beyond 2030. Engaging with Indigenous peoples of Saskatchewan is critical to this future. Options being considered by Sask Power include natural gas, hydro, wind, solar, large-scale battery storage, coal with carbon capture and storage, electricity imports, geothermal, biomass, and nuclear power from small modular reactors. Federal legislation requires conventional coal-fired generation be retired by 2030, creating an opportunity to move Sask Power into a new era of supply options. First Nations Power Authority President Guy Lonechild will facilitate multiple sessions on the future of the power system with discussions on all supply options. These sessions begin September 8th and run through September 30th. All interested Indigenous peoples and communities are encouraged to sign up. On the markets, the TSX is up 23 points at 20,197. The Dow has dropped 136 points at 34,921. Oil is up 70 cents at $72.35 a barrel. The Canadian dollar is up 22 one-hundredths of a cent at 79.56 cents U.S. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley. Good afternoon and good farming.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620ckrm.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, now starting after the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag, 620 CKRM.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.